Welcome to the Taylorsville Times Audiorama, our periodical podcast which brings you stories direct from the pages of the Taylorsville Times. This is your host, Micah Henry.
We're here today with Dale Clary and Paula Klein at the Partnership for Children, Alexander County Partnership for Children. And Dale, if you could tell me a little bit about what this initiative is that you and your wife are doing, and tell me a little bit about your history with Partnership First.
Okay, we originally thought about doing the Disney Marathon last spring. Then once we'd committed, I mentioned the possibility to Paula maybe about trying to tie it in to a fundraiser. Then that idea kind of took wings and took off. Mm-hmm. My history at the partnership, I'm not sure how many years I go back, but I go back to the original director, the last of his, Steve is still here.
So yeah,
I've been in and out several times. Actually, at one point, I'd rotated off and thought I was done with it. And Nan Campbell called me to come back. And how do you say no to Nan Campbell?
That's right.
So here I am. And the way I guess the rules are set up is only so many positions eligible to be board chair.
Okay.
So yes. It has to be non-conflicted.
Yeah, and there's only like probably six slots.
There's not a lot on the board that's not conflicted,
right,
in some way or shape. So.
Yeah. And the more I learned on the partnership, just the more I realized what they mean to the community.
Well, let me ask Paula, if you would tell us sort of a snapshot of what Partnership for Children does for the community and what you offer.
Okay. Well, we're a 501c3, and we were Smart Start Partnerships. We're a brainchild of Governor Jim Hunt and back in the early 90s. And some local people come together and looked at what was going on in the community and saw that we really needed services to focus on the first 5 years. And they worked hard for 5 years to get the Smart Start grant. And so we've been in existence now for just a little over 25 years. And our mission is to ensure that all children are healthy and ready to succeed when they enter kindergarten. What's exploded in the last 10 to 15 years has been the neuroscience to back up what we've known all along. And it just gives scientific proof that the first 5 years are so crucial with brain development. A children's brain reaches 80% of the adult weight by age 3 and 90% by age 5. So all this wiring is going on in those first 5 years. And it really is the foundation for their future success in life, period. All of our programs and services are free, and all of it is funded. Most of our programs are funded by state funds. We get a little bit of federal funds, and then we also get some, we write for grants, so we try to get as private funds to help us too. The brainchild was to have a private-public partnership, which is what we are. And a lot of our services are in supporting early quality education, which is the child care and licensed child care, and to support them to have the best quality. And the other part of what we do to support that foundations that's built in the kids birth to five in our services is family supports. And we have different family support programs too, where we work directly with families that don't have children that are in child care. Because we know there's two populations. You've got the kids that are enrolled in child care, and then you have those that families are at home, or then some type of kinship care. So it's kind of a variety of programs that we have to try to address the needs however we can to make sure the kids get what they need to build that. It's like the foundation of a house. You want it to be solid, and that's what's developing in those first 5 years. There's approximately 2,000 days from the time a kid is born till they go to kindergarten. So that's a very small window of time. And just recently we had the screening of the film about resiliency in the community. And it talks about adverse childhood experiences. And we know that a lot of trauma in the early years creates short lifespans and a lot of health outcomes that are very poor. And so if we can address all of these things, we won't have to have, we can make sure that kids are reading on grade level at third grade. If they get everything they need in the first 5 years, they will graduate high school. They will go on to advanced training or education and be employable. So it addresses all these things that are societal issues with incarceration rates. We know there's research that shows the kids that are get what they need in those first 5 years go on to do all these things and have successful lives. And if they don't, they call it actually the pre-K to prison pipeline. They can look at how well kids are doing and predict how many prisons to build, because if kids don't get what they need, then they're on a path to not be successful.
Well, if you really think on that, that's really a scary fact.
It's very scary. So everything we do here really, and all of our services are free to the children and families here in Alexander County. And everything we do, like I said, is to put in those supports for the teachers and the parents to create an environment in which that child thrives in it. Mm-hmm. Because a brain will grow for the environment that it's in. And if it's in a good, positive environment and got all the supports that it needs, it will grow in positive ways and it'll be healthy socially, emotionally. But if it's in an environment that doesn't have what it needs, it's not going to grow in that. It's going to grow to be more susceptible to being reactive, and you're going to see a lot of host of problems when that kid starts kindergarten.
And would you agree, even with that being a proven fact now? And I remember when I first went on the school board, we used to sit around and debate the need for preschool, early childhood, which is, you look back and you think, really? But if you look at the state funding provided in proportion to K through 12 versus preschool kids, it's not a good ratio. But yet we know if we don't prepare these kids, the results aren't going to be good. They're probably going to cost more to educate, but we're not putting the resources there.
And that's laying the foundation, good or bad.
Exactly.
That's exactly right. Yep. So remediation, K-12 has shown that, you know, they've thrown funds and programs at remediation for years, and it's not always successful. It's not very successful. Mm-hmm. So the earlier, it's just like trying to find children that another one of our goals, of course, is to reach those kids that need services if they're having developmental issues, so that we can get the early intervention services they need, because it's just like the old saying goes, an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. And if we can get those services, sometimes they can start school and you wouldn't even know they ever had a delay if they get the right kind of services before they go. So it's definitely crucial. And there is an inequity in how the K-12 system is set up with the early childhood system. We do have a network, and it's really kind of patchwork how it's laid out, and it's not a one system across the state like the K-12 system has.
And can you tell me a little bit about how partnership works with entities in that serve the population of birth to five?
Absolutely. We collaborate. We are known as conveners in all the communities that we're in. And like I said, the Smart Start Partnerships are a network. There's 75 across the state, and we cover all 100 counties. And within all of our communities, we're definitely the ones that are known for taking the lead, for initiatives, bringing people together. Even if we're not the one who is actively addressing an issue, we will definitely be at the table and pulling people in to say, how can we? Because we're always constantly looking at the data and the needs and trying to determine how we can do it, because it is a network. Like I said, we work hand in hand with Head Start. We work with Early Head Start. We work with the private child care centers. We work with even the preschool programs that are not licensed. We work with anybody that is in that realm of birth to five, so that we can, that's the whole point, I think, of being board driven. And the way our board is set up is having others that are working with the health department, also with your DSS, and working collaboratively with other child service and agencies that do intervention that are a part of our community, but they're not necessarily housed in our community. So we work with state and local agencies that cover our region that are also, like I said, with the early intervention services. And I'm trying to think.
Well, just our normal monthly meeting. You have Dr. Hefner sitting here, Macy Jones, Head Start Director, Social Services Director, Mental Health, and all these very key players in the community are hearing all these concerns and good things together. And there's a lot of back and forth dialogue.
Yeah, I'm very pleased with the diversity that we have on the board, and I like our board makeup for that very reason. Mm-hmm. And like he said, we have the mental health servicing agencies that are here. And so we try to pull in everybody that touches an aspect of early development and work together, especially we're fixing to come up on our strategic planning this year. And so we will make sure we bring in voices from all the people that have an impact or an effect or come in contact with the birth to five.
Right. Okay. I think we've given the listeners maybe a good snapshot of what partnership is and how it works to fulfill its mission in the community. Dale, if you'd like to tell us a little bit about the Disney Marathon. And
it's maybe, long.
Well, even some folks may not know the length of a marathon.
True.
If you want to go into that and how you're training and maybe some of your health history, if you want to include that.
Okay.
You know, that's inspirational.
Be glad to. And if I get a little emotional, one of the things they counseled me about after the open heart surgery was that comes with after effects of the surgery. So I don't ever know when it might hit me. So bear with me.
Well, that's okay.
I ran one marathon the year I turned 60, 8 years ago. And I always thought about doing one more. And I really wanted to talk Gail, my wife, into doing it with me. And she was very adamant it was not going to happen. She's agreed to do this one with me for two reasons. She knows what the partnership means. It means to me. Mm-hmm. And actually, I think she is actually doing the race because if something should happen to me, she's going to be there.
Right.
You know, it comes with 44 years of marriage. Mm-hmm. Marathon is 26.2 miles. We actually had some younger friends talk us into doing this. So be careful of younger friends. But once we committed and Paul and I decided to do it as a fundraiser, it's been a great motivator. Mm-hmm. We train 3 to 4 days a week as far as the running. Mm-hmm. We'll leave our early service at church this Sunday morning to catch the good weather, and hopefully we get 22 miles in this Sunday.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
Yes, wow.
You have to kind of last sometimes. I told somebody at church last week that it's kind of like the arcade whack-a-mole game. At the age of 68 running a marathon, I know something's going to hurt, but I don't know from week to week what it's going to be.
Right.
But I really tell people that when I publicize what I'm doing at the runs and the marathon, I try to stress it's not about me. It's a God thing. Mm-hmm. I feel like it's my way of sharing my testimony, what's
right.
happened to me, been blessed. Mm-hmm. I had a heart attack 6 years ago running the Army 10-miler in Washington. Our son-in-law, who's military, wanted to do this when he got home from his deployment. Really thought he would forget about it, but he didn't. And but then you couldn't just send a check in. You had to join one of the nonprofit charitable teams. He chose Tim Fisher House. Mm-hmm. And if you look them up, they're the folks that have built and support housing adjacent to all the military hospitals around the country. And that particular year, they actually picked up the death benefits when the government shut down. So you have around 32,000 people running this race, including the Wounded Warriors. You start and stop in front of the Pentagon, which the good thing is it really gets your adrenaline pumping. Bad thing is it will have you run through a heart attack. I didn't know after the fact I'd had a heart attack between miles 6 and 7. Stop, massage my chest, knew better, finished the race. Doctors okayed me running another race about 3 weeks later in Savannah. And I have to share this with you. Major God thing. my left knee went out about 2 miles into the race, which had never bothered me before. I went in the first aid tent, had wraps put on it. Long story short, I pretty well walked the last 4 or 5 miles. Come home, went for some tests, found out I not only had serious heart problems, but the normal stents or medication wasn't an option. And I didn't know till after the fact that how serious it was. I had 6 bypasses.
Wow.
So that's why it's so important to me to share where I've been, how I've been blessed. Mm-hmm. Because I'm a lucky man to just be sitting here today, let alone training for a marathon. Mm-hmm. Gail and I were able to go back the next year, and we ran the race together. And you've seen a lot of people running the races with signs on their back, they're running on or so-and-so. She made one on my back and told the story of what had happened. Some amazing conversations. And I think the coolest thing, I've sat in the Team Fisher House tent area after the race, and it was a pretty warm day. Didn't look good, wasn't probably too presentable. A lady come over I'd never met before with the Team Fisher House jersey on. She never said hello or anything. She leaned over, kissed my sweaty head. She patted my sign on the back and said, "God is good." Mm-hmm. She's gone.
Wow.
It's just, so I will be running of some sort. My goal was to be the crazy old guy running around town. People say, why? And I love the chance to tell the story because
that's great.
It's not about me. Mm-hmm. So if we can raise some money, do some good. And we were talking last week, I think along with the money, we're definitely going to help the awareness in the community of the partnership.
And yeah.
Can either of you tell folks how they can help? How is this a fundraiser exactly? How can they pitch in?
It's on the partnership's website. Mm-hmm. You can, of course, send a check direct to the partnership, and it's a 501c3. Mm-hmm. Or you can go on the website, and there's a link now for PayPal.
Okay.
You can donate through that. And we're going to accept donations through the end of January. The race is January 12th.
Okay.
And no money's used on general budget. Everything will go to enhance programs.
Yeah, it's all going to programs.
No light bills, no salaries.
Right.
No operating costs.
You know, the old adage, as long as I've been around, is it takes a village to raise a child. It also takes a village, in this case, to finance the child.
Yes.
We're trying to do our own thing to help some.
Yes, and we have a lot of programs, and it really does, because our budget, we have never been funded to the point that we should have been to start with, and funding has decreased over the years, and so it's always a struggle to keep the programs going. We have a number of new programs that just, when I want another program I'd like to plug that we are now the administrators for, the newest one is Dolly Parton Imagination Library. Mm-hmm. So we really want to get the word about that, because that's free books to kids birth to 5. Once your kid's born, you can sign them up on the day they're born, and they can get a book mailed to their home in their name every month until they turn the age of 5. And so that's one of our, because a big goal of ours is literacy and having the shared reading with your child, because there's so many things that go into shared reading. Part of the development is the social emotional pieces, the warmth and the love and the caring that's so crucial, and the bonding that you have with your kid. And there's no better way to do that than to have them on your lap and read to them. And so shared reading is important in so many aspects. It's not only giving them pre-literacy skills, they're getting the foundation of what they're going to need to be able to learn their ABCs and learn to read.
And we're up to how many now in the county?
Love. We are up to 1,145.
Are participating
in
our
currently.
Little town. That's amazing, isn't it?
Our goal for this year was 1,256, and so we've really been working hard to get the word out. So another aspect of this campaign that's helping us is that, and what Dale understands, is just getting the word about our services. Mm-hmm. We do find that we're a lot of times not on people's radar. People haven't heard about us, and so part of the marathon fundraiser that's exciting for me is to people to hear about us and what we're doing. In addition to hopefully getting some donations, it's just getting the word out about our services.
That's great.
And I'm already having conversations. Mm-hmm. Okay, now what is the partnership? Mm-hmm. First time I got asked, served years ago, I was asked on the school board at the time, and I had to research and ask questions. I'd heard the name, but that's as far as my knowledge went. Mm-hmm. And these folks, Mike, have done such an amazing job in the last few years on everybody buying into the mission here and wearing different hats.
Right.
And keeping the not only the boat afloat, but expanding services.
Yeah, absolutely.
Because when I went off a few years ago, I really thought the partnership here would be merging to probably Wilkes County.
Yeah, that was on the radar for a while, but yes. I think I'm thankful that the board here decided to fight to keep it in the county here, and I'm glad they did, because I think we have definitely seen we've added even more services in the short time, and I know we're working like crazy, but we all believe in it with all of our hearts. You know what we do with the mission around here. Some of the other programs we have are we have Circle of Parents, which is a parent support group that meets here. That is parents can participate in. We have a play to learn group. We have different 8-week sessions for that for different ages, depending on the age of your child. We have a car seat. We are a permanent check station. So we do car seat inspections. Statistics on that, 75% to 90% are installed incorrectly.
Wow.
Which is mind boggling, but it's true.
Have you ever tried to put one of those in? It can be a non-religious experience.
It is. And we get a grant from the United Way that if someone comes in here with an inappropriate car seat, and it happens more than you think it would, they do expire, which people don't understand either. Or if you're ever in a wreck, it needs to be immediately replaced because it can damage the frame of the seat and it will not be as protective as it will next time. So we do get a grant to help purchase seats to do a replacement if it needs to be replaced. So that is part of our Safe Kids Coalition, which we are the lead agency for. And that is, of course, one of the number one reasons for death in children is accidents, preventable accidents. Mm-hmm. And that's why we are a big proponent of Safe Kids that has a number of initiatives. We partner with a lot of entities, especially law enforcement and EMS, in that initiative. We've had some help.
The Sheriff Department has a representative on the board. And
yes.
Ms.
Yes.
Melvin, the library. It's just a great cross-section of the community.
Absolutely. And then another big part of what we do is, like I said, working with the child care centers. We have one staff that actually goes into the centers and works with them to improve the quality. And we have a number of initiatives to support. We have a wages salary supplement for early childhood teachers because they are woefully underpaid. They make such low wages that over 50% have to get some type of public assistance, but yet they're required to have education and training.
2-year degree?
Which we, depends on the classroom, not your average teacher.
Okay.
But there is, they do have to at least have credentials, which is a college class. We provide all the trainings and support here for those teachers. And we also provide first aid and CPR classes for them, which we think is very important. We get a grant to help pay for that because those classes are costly and we know how important they are.
And you guys are very active on applying for grants.
Yes. We try to do it as often as we can to help support. Last year, we got a couple of grants to work with our Reach Out and Read and Raising a Reader. We have a number of literacy initiatives besides the Dolly Parton. Reach Out and Read is where we partner with medical practices, and that's the idea is that the doctor will talk to the parents every time they go in for a well child visit about the importance of reading with their child, and they give them a book to read.
And see, and that's a challenge in our small rural community. We don't have a pediatrician.
Right.
Right.
So, I mean, we have challenges here that are kind of unique to the small rural community.
Yeah, so the numbers are few, so that's hard with our funders in providing the data they need, but we still fight to keep it because every chance we get to come in contact and whatever avenue we can to come and to talk about the giving parents the resources they need and the support they need, we want to take it, even if it's just a handful in terms of numbers. And then Raising a Reader is a book sharing program where we go into classrooms, 4-year-old classrooms in centers and in Head Start. And they have a book bag the kids get to take home every week with them, with books that the parents then get some ideas on how to share the books mm-hmm. with their kids. Mm-hmm. And then, and those are rotated every week. And then at the end of the year, we have a big event at the library where we give with Miss Mel, and they can get their library card, and then they get a permanent book bag with Raising a Reader to keep and a book to keep. So it's another literacy initiative that we have that's really important, reaches a lot of kids. In addition to that, we have several initiatives throughout the year. We always are asking for volunteers to go in and read to the classrooms. We have Read Across America and Read for the Record, where we have volunteers come in.
How many readers this year?
We had
30-something?
Yeah, there was 31 readers, yeah. And over 400 children were read to. And they usually leave the book in the classroom with the teacher, so then the classroom has another resource for them. We partner with the Read to Me program and the Friends mm-hmm. of the Library mm-hmm. To go out on a regular basis. We have volunteers that go and read every month to 3- and 4-year-old classrooms throughout the county.
It's so cool. You see how excited they get when you tell them you're going to leave the book with their teacher. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like Christmas.
Yeah. They get. I got to see I got to go read to a class and saw a few familiar faces. And I actually ran in yesterday at Policy Council, one of the parents. The kid saw me. He was here for a meeting, and he saw me, and he was like, that's what's your name? She read to us. And she was like, Miss Paula. And he was like, yeah. And she said, he's been telling me all afternoon about the book you read, how much he loved that book. Grumpy Monkey, by the way, mm-hmm. is the book. If you hadn't read that and you got kids, you need to buy it because it's awesome. But I haven't even covered everything we do, but we've had health initiatives where we've went in and worked with centers to get the kids outside, to convert their learning environments to outdoor learning environments where they're naturalized, increasing physical activity. We just had a farm to child care initiative the last couple of years where we worked on getting locally sourced. We've worked with the farmers, and we work with Cooperative Extension on getting fresh local food mm-hmm. into the child care centers, which can be a big challenge. So we worked on procurement issues, to kind of work out those kinks and get them up and running. So,
well, for our community, you guys are really the facilitator of the funnel for all 0 to 5 activity going on.
Yeah, we try to be. We try to be in on everything to help with that. So we've got a lot of irons in the fire, but we're keeping up with it. Yeah. But it would be helpful if we could have more hands on deck. Really, it would be nice if we had enough funding to get hire another person would really be a big help mm-hmm. to really keep everything going. It would be awesome. But there's nothing like seeing a kid thrive. I mean, there's nothing like that. And I know Dale's got grandkids that he keeps now on a regular basis.
Yeah, this is our help out 3 days a week every other week, and when Gail's got time, she brings the 2-year-old by here on Thursdays and by the library on Tuesday. Mm-hmm. And it grows. What did my second, third grader want to do this week after school? Pick them up. We'll go to the library.
That's great.
Gail was picking up the kids yesterday, and Cooper's reading his book in line, waiting to get in the car. You know, all that starts somewhere.
Yeah, and that's
a
really
one of the big challenges here and in other communities. So many parents scrape to pay for the daycare or can't pay for the daycare, while at the same time, the daycares are just barely getting by.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not making... It's not a profit center.
Yeah. So a big chunk of our funding goes to subsidy, mm-hmm. which subsidizes where the parents go and apply at DSS. Mm-hmm. So we do have a big 30% of our 70% that's funding from the state that's designated for early childhood purposes, early childhood education purposes, goes to our local DSS, and they are the ones that the parents go to and apply and get qualified to receive subsidy. And it's not enough. And right now we have a huge wait list. just talking to them yesterday, it's been frozen by the state because they haven't passed a budget. So they've not been issuing any new vouchers since about March. So there's around 200 children on the wait list for that. And if you think in this county, and if you think about those are parents that need to go back to work, mm-hmm. that's why I really want to. The one thing I think we haven't tapped into in this community is the business community to help them to see how valuable what we do is and how valuable it is to this community, to the future workforce and the current workforce, because they can't go back to work if they can't put their kids in care. I've had parents call and bring me to tears saying, I've got to go back to work. I just had a baby and it's, 4 weeks old and I have to go back or I'm going to lose my job. And DSS can't issue any vouchers, or they've got this huge wait list and I don't know what to do. Right. And it's a sad situation that people want to work and can't because they can't get childcare, because they can't afford it, because it is very expensive. So it's a huge dilemma. And even though it's expensive, it's still not enough for the centers to, they're barely running, because to provide quality care is expensive. So even what the parents pay, even though it's expensive to the parents, is still not enough really to provide that high quality care. And so we're seeing definitely a lot of centers and homes going out of business across the state because they can't sustain quality with what they're getting from the parents. So the system is truly needs some huge overhaul. There needs to be some type of different plan than what we have now, because it's just not working.
I'll give you a good example that can work.
Okay.
When the two older grandkids lived in Georgia, their lottery money was totally closed in. And if your child went to an approved preschool, mm-hmm. no cost to the parent.
Wow.
Zero.
That's in Georgia?
Yep. Because my grandchildren were able
right.
to
and we
take
have,
advantage of that.
We have the state-funded pre-K program here. It's called NC mm-hmm. Pre-K, and we are the administrator for it. Mm-hmm. We have 68 slots that we're funded at, and we have 5 classrooms. 3 of the classrooms are through Head Start. We contract with Head Start, and the other 2 are located at First Baptist Child Care. So we have that, but we all across the state, there's huge wait lists. Right now we have a very short wait list. For NC Pre-K, we have 7 on our wait list. But I know Head Start has a long wait list right now for their services too. So, and I know Early Head Start serves the 0 to 3, and Head Start serves child care, that is. And Head Start serves 3 to 5. And so they both have huge wait lists. So we know the things that we do have in place are also woefully underfunded.
Right.
So, and that's there again, it has a huge impact on the workforce.
If people are interested in volunteering with partnership, call me.
Ask for me, Paula. I'll be happy. We have volunteers, and volunteering is important for us. Also, any of the cash that we get or in-kind donations or volunteer hours goes to meet our match. Legislatively, we are mandated to match 19% of our funding from the state, which is huge for a small.
And that's increased.
Small, and it's increased.
Last 2 or 3 years.
Yes, right? it went from 10% to 19% in about a 7-year span. They've increased it constantly on us. So that is a huge hardship for us. So we love it to have volunteers to help with us. We've got all kind of projects I would love to do that we need volunteers to help with, because we can't do anything in terms of capital improvements.
Right.
So anything we would need to do around here in terms of improving the building, anything of that sort or painting, we can't do ourselves. We do have some where if there's anybody that has provided child care, we have a group that we could use some volunteers to help with the child care.
Volunteers could have done what I did with the trees.
Reading. Yes, the trees. Yeah. Dale actually came out here and planted. I'm trying to convert the back of our property here. My goal is to eventually have an outdoor learning environment, a model one. Right. And it's looks like it'd be taking a lot of years to get there, but Dale came and helped. We got some fruiting trees and bushes from Cooperative Extension mm-hmm. at their sale they have every year. And he actually came and helped plant them. He did the bulk of the work.
I volunteer for the non-skill jobs.
So, I mean, there's always usually something. If we can't use them, like right now, if they can give me their number and contact information, there's always going to be something coming up. And all of that, we capture all of that data, and it goes in to help support our mandated 19% match that we have by the legislature.
Well, partnership schools, whatever, you really can't... score the positive impact on staff morale and they see people willing to volunteer.
Yeah, we love having them. And there's nothing better too to be one of our volunteer readers when you go in and read to those kids. Oh my gosh. It just makes your heart sing when you see their reaction to reading a book with them. And you get lots of hugs too, which you can't beat.
Yeah.
That's great. If you wouldn't mind to let folks know how they can contact you and how they can find you.
Sure.
Internet.
Okay, so on the internet, you can find us at www.alexanderchildren.org. Mm-hmm. The telephone number here is 828-632-3799. And we are also on Facebook. You can just search for Alexander County Partnership for Children. So we're on Facebook, which we post everything we have. We have an event coming up called our Gingerbread House event that we do every year. That's next Saturday. And I think we have like one spot open, but we do two shifts of kids coming in. We do a story. They get a book related to usually the gingerbread man or something gingerbread related. And then we go to the back and build gingerbread houses. And it is a lot of fun. And all of that, we get donations. We solicited donations for candy, for all that stuff.
Board members donate bags of candy.
Yes.
Just, you know.
And then we come in and do that on a Saturday, and we always look for volunteers to assist with that event. So, and then in the spring, our big, what we really like to promote is our spring event. We don't have the date yet, but it's usually in May, and it's at the park, and we have all the agencies that serve children and families come out, and it's called Spring Fling. And we have that at Madison Park. And that's always a huge fun event. Everything's always free. We always give out a book to the families. And all the other agencies usually have some type of free giveaways. We and we have every agency, like I said, that we can think of that has any contacts with families comes out to that event.
Right.
So we're always looking for volunteers for that and sponsors for that event too.
It's well attended.
That's it, because we want to make sure not only do we want the people to come out and have fun, but we want the parents to know who's in our county, who they can turn to when they need resources. And we just got a grant. I just got the check last week from the Catawba Valley Foundation to complete a parent resource guide. We've not had one published here since the early 2000s, so you can imagine how outdated it is, but we got the money to publish a new parent resource guide for the county, so we'll be working on that. I could definitely use some volunteer hours for to get that completed, because the grant's for the printing of it. So got lots of good things going on. So yeah, online they can call, they can come by, send me a message through Facebook, or even email me at paula@alexanderchildren.org.
I'm keeping it very active on Facebook, so feel free to contact me or Gail, either one.
Okay.
Not too many people running through town with a heart shirt on, so pick me out.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for speaking with us today, and hopefully you'll have some volunteers ringing the phone and coming to visit.
That'd be awesome.
Yep.
Love Dale, to show people around.
Yeah. And Dale, good luck to you and Gail when you go to Disney and
thank
run
you
the marathon next month.
Thank you. It'll be flat.
And one more thing. If you have a story idea that you'd like to hear in a future podcast, just email us. The address is news, that's N-E-W-S, at TaylorsvilleTimes.com. Thank you.
Are you in need of print work? For nearly 100 years, the Taylorsville Times has provided printing services for the businesses, churches, and individuals of Alexander County. Many folks don't know that we offer business cards, newsletters, brochures, receipt books, business forms, raffle tickets, bulletins, invoices, carbonless forms, calendars, invitations, full-color envelopes, and more. We make printing simple for you. Call us at 828-632-2532 or send an email to ads@taylorsvilletimes.com.